If your retirement plan is running perfectly, then don't change a thing. From the home base in Brookfield, Wisconsin, welcome to the latest episode of Inside, Connect and Simplify, sponsored by the Benefit Companies. Roger here, human capital management consultant, marketing guy, and the next to last guy you want to talk to about retirement plans and investing. Next to last because I do have some experience in education in the retirement space, but it's been years, so I know enough to start a conversation and then get out of the way and let someone with experience in the industry take over. Paul Dowd is my guest today, and we're going to talk about the plan you have in place and things to consider to make your plan work for you. Paul recently joined the Benefit Companies on our retirement team, and he has over 30 years of experience in the retirement industry. Paul, last time you were here, we talked about all the benefits of starting a plan if your company doesn't have one. Today, let's talk about the plan our listeners have in place, areas to be aware of, and how to get the most out of that plan. And we are keeping this chat at the company level, and we will not be giving any investment advice. So, Paul, when I'm talking with a business leader, I typically hear the following about their plans. We've had our plan for years. Participation could be better. We could use better service. I would like more education from the consultants. I don't know who picks the plan options. Things along these lines. So when you, as a consultant, are starting your conversation with a company leader, where do you start?
Well, Roger, first of all, thanks for letting me be part of another podcast here at our home base. At our last podcast, we did focus on listeners who don't currently have a plan. So for those who have an existing retirement plan, we do offer a complimentary review of their plan. And the first part of that review is to work with the sponsors to determine what their goals are for the plan and if they're doing everything possible to avoid those potential pitfalls.
So what are some pitfalls?
Well, pitfall number one, and serious, is to not be ready for a surprise audit. The Department of Labor and IRS, to name just two, can audit a plan at any time. Based on those audits, they have the power to issue significant penalties. We're talking significant fines. Participants and beneficiaries can also sue plan sponsors and business owners. So here's some ideas of how you could be more ready for an audit and to keep you out of trouble in relation to lawyers who might want to come after retirement plans. Number one, you need to know who the fiduciaries are on your plan. Therefore, if I meet with a plan sponsor, I want to start with the question, who are the fiduciaries? Business executives and staff may not know their fiduciaries because being a fiduciary comes from what you do. In other words, your actions determine whether you're a fiduciary, not your title. So they could be a fiduciary even if they don't know it. And when a person's a fiduciary, their personal assets are on the line for their actions as a fiduciary, especially in relation to retirement plan. So with a few minutes of conversation, I can actually help a business determine who their fiduciaries are and what those people should be doing. That's step one. Number two would be to make sure the plan sponsors have written minutes of their sponsor meetings with documentation that actions had been taken based on those minutes. And by the way, our team does help draft minutes for our clients. That's a very important step that needs to be done. And another thing is to know what documents the auditors will want to see. So the IRS and Department of Labor have audited many plans in the past. It's pretty simple to get a list of the things they tend to want when they do those audits. It's nice to have those on hand before the audit were to come up. And then another thing that gets a lot of employers into trouble is you want to be sure to document that your contributions have been put in on a timely basis for the time period that you've been running the plan. And by the way, the IRS, DOL, their definition of timely basis is as soon as administratively possible. So as soon as you're able to separate those contributions from payroll, they need to go into the retirement plan. These are just a few ideas that can help prepare for an audit. Our team can actually provide a lot more. So that's really pitfall number one, and I gave you a lot on that because being ready for an audit is a big deal, and it can help a plan stay out of trouble. But number two, another pitfall would be that contributions are not being classified correctly. So by the way, when I talk about classifying correctly, contributions can be classified as 401k contributions, match contributions, safe harbor match contributions, Roth 401k. So the entities that are making these contributions for you, both on your side as well as the providers who you're using, need to know that the contributions are being classified correctly. So usually the third party administrator is an entity that can help monitor this and make sure it's getting done for you. Another pitfall is that the plan is a mystery to the participants. And this is a pitfall to me because plans are usually put in place to help attract and retain employees. You want to make sure those highly valued key employees really see this plan as a benefit. So if the employees don't understand the plan, they're not going to value it as much as they should. So we focus a significant amount of our time in the area of employee guidance and education. And by the way, one of our goals is not to just inform people, but truly guide them to take action that's going to be the best for them. And pitfall number four is the plan is not providing the management of the organization with the maximum tax deferral that they could potentially receive. And that's an important thing because, again, there's nothing wrong with designing a plan to help the owners and the company to accomplish their goal. The key is once the plan is up and operational, it must be operated for the benefit of the participants and there not be any discrimination. But it's okay to design a plan to help provide tax deferrals for the people who can take advantage of those. So a business owner could be wasting money on a poorly designed plan, and they could end up with a much better plan with some simple design changes.
That's a huge starting point and a lot to gather in one starting point, but let's go a little deeper on a couple of things. So no business owner wants to really take on any risk if they can help it, or more risk. Certainly they didn't want to bring their personal liability into the play. What do you explore with these plan sponsors after educating them about these pitfalls you just described?
So after hitting on the pitfalls, which again, we want to make sure plans avoid those pitfalls, and with some work it can be done, we really want to dive into the two different silos of a retirement plan. And silo number one is the administration, and silo number two is the investments.
All right, so talk about those two silos and focus on the issues, the blind spots, the risk. Go ahead.
Okay, so first let's start with the investments. There are many laws that apply to retirement plans as well as legal cases. And some of these legal cases, by the way, have multi-million dollar settlements. And with these cases and the records, we can actually learn from them and help us identify issues and risks and help plan sponsors in the end keep an optimal running plan. So here's some of the things we found. Number one, mutual funds are one of the most commonly used investments in a retirement plan. Plan sponsors need to ensure that they're using the lowest cost share class available to them through the provider that they're using, because that's one area that lawyers tend to go after is finding that a plan is not using the lowest cost shares that they could potentially be using. Another area that plans need to be watching out for is too many choices. Sometimes plans get into this situation where they have not removed choices that have failed their investment policy statement. That could be a serious problem. Also, plans just want to offer choices that appeal to lots of people, so they have too many choices and participants get confused. The other side of the coin, though, can be just as big a problem. That's offering too few choices. If you offer too few choices, you're not going to give people the opportunity to be well diversified. And then another area to be careful about is not educating participants about the risk exposures and the investment choices, or not offering professional guidance or management of investment accounts. So participants tend to know they need help, and that help should be something that's offered to them as part of their participation in the plan. And then another thing that we touched on, but I would want to really get to it because we've seen this problem many times, is plan sponsors don't always eliminate investments that have failed the guidelines of their investment policy statement. Technically, there's no requirement, by the way, to have an investment policy statement, but it's been determined to be a best practice to have an investment policy statement and to follow that investment policy statement. So, for example, if a plan has multiple investments in the same category, let's just pick the category of large cap growth stocks. It's very common for plans to offer a fund that invests in the large cap growth stock arena. But if a plan offers four or five funds in that same category, how is a participant to know which one to choose from? So those are some investment things to consider.
Okay, so since you came on board here at the Benefit Companies, I hear you keep bringing up the topic of fiduciary liability. So when we're talking about investments, we're also talking about the liability. So talk about that.
All right, well, plan sponsors are actually held to the standard of being a fiduciary to the plan. And we mentioned that term fiduciary already once. It's very, very important. You're a fiduciary to the participants and the beneficiaries in your plan. Being a fiduciary means being a retirement plan expert and an investment expert, which not every plan sponsor is. So fortunately, the primary law that dictates how retirement plans operate, which we call ERISA, gives plan sponsors a way to outsource a major portion of the duties they have related to investments. Plans can actually hire an outside fiduciary to take on what's called an ERISA 321 or ERISA 338 position. The key things to know about those terms are that you can outsource a lot of the responsibilities you have for selecting, monitoring, and maintaining an investment lineup to an independent fiduciary. The important thing to know, though, is that the outside fiduciary must accept their position in writing in order to provide any significant reduction in liability for the plan sponsor.
All right, so if a plan sponsor does not have a fiduciary agreement in writing, they still retain all the liability for selecting and monitoring the investments of their plan. Is that correct?
Absolutely, they still do.
So does the sponsor who has not set up a written agreement with the fiduciary retain significant investment liability, even if they have a broker or an advisor helping them?
Yes. So I think to think about here is that many advisors recommend actually that their plan sponsor clients adopt an outside fiduciary to take on these 321 or 338 positions. So that's how important this topic is.
All right. So investment selection and monitoring is a big deal. But now let's turn to the other silo that can cause trouble, and that's administration. Focus on those issues and blind spots, and again, the risk to the company when we're talking about administering a plan.
All right. Well, again, as we said, the Department of Labor and other government entities have the right to audit plans at any time. Ensuring that the administration of the plan is being done properly, including regularly benchmarking the plan in relation to its offerings and services and fees, is critical to protect the fiduciaries of the plan.
So benchmarking a plan would be critical to keep the employees happy too, right?
That's a great point. So we're not just talking about the plan sponsors here. We're talking about the goal of the plan is to help attract and retain employees. Regularly benchmarking your plan is going to ensure that those employees are getting the best possible services. So when it comes to administration, it's very important to know that the Department of Labor does not even encourage plans to adopt the lowest cost providers. This is important because we just said you want to benchmark a plan, but when you're thinking about benchmarking a plan, we're not telling you you need to have the lowest cost providers. In this area, plan sponsors should search for solid processes and good values. Anyone who's ever bought a car knows that the lowest cost may not be the best. In retirement plans, it's even more important to search for a true value. So talking about true value brings to me one idea that's something important out there in the industry today, and that a record keeper you are using today may not be in the business in 5 years. And that's because the cost of running the record-keeping operations for these big providers continues to increase. And so record keepers that are going to be in the business need to have the economies of scale to keep their costs low. And the problem with that economy of scale discussion is that plan sponsors can often get lost in the sea of clients that these large record keepers have. Just to give you a feel, some of the large record keepers have over 50,000 clients they're trying to track at one time. So this could lead to errors that the plan sponsor may not even know about. For this reason, I recommend on most plans that they have a third-party administrator and an advisor help them get the attention they need at the prices they can afford. So a third-party administrator working with an advisor can help in some critical areas. Number one, TPA and advisors can help. TPA, by the way, is a short term for a third-party administrator. These folks help with plan design. Again, the goal is to attract and retain employees. There's a lot of variation allowed by the government in terms of what your plan is designed to look like. So this step is critical to making the plan attractive to current and potential employees. Poor plan design also wastes money and time and can potentially increase the liability. For example, do you know how your plan is supposed to treat employee bonuses? Some plans allow for employees to elect different contribution rates for bonuses versus normal pay. This is something we want to make sure your plan administrator is checking on, and your plan administrator needs to make sure that the big provider who you're using is documenting and doing this correctly. Another area that's a key benefit to having a third-party administrator is the third-party administrator will do the compliance testing for plans. This needs to be done accurately, needs to be done well. And in addition to the compliance testing, they'll look at payroll transmissions, they'll help process loan requests and other time-consuming tasks. The TPA overall can keep the plan documents updated. Another key area of administration that is done by the TPA is the preparation of the Form 5500. So retirement plans need to have this Form 5500 filed every year, and a good third-party administrator could make that process easier or get that done for you. Another area of concern for the government auditors and therefore for plan sponsors is the timing of contributions. I've heard of so many plan sponsors getting tripped up in this area. Plan sponsors need to ensure that they have timely contributions to the plan all the time. And a TPA can help monitor this process and help you ensure that it's getting done. And another thing here, bringing in the idea of the advisor who works on your plan, a good advisory team can help ensure that the minutes are being taken and recorded at the plan review meetings. This is key because if a government entity visits and basically wants to do an audit, they're going to want to see the minutes of your plan, and they're going to want to know that those action items listed in the minutes have been actually acted upon.
There are a lot of issues that can cause a plan sponsor problem. So how does our team help prevent those problems?
Well, first of all, we conduct plan reviews on a regular basis, at least once a year for our current clients. These meetings help our clients stay aware of their fiduciary duties and document that they're running a plan that complies with the regulations. These meetings also help us collaborate with the sponsor to know how we can best help the participants. So that's number one. Number two is we develop processes with our clients that we have the resources to help them follow. As I said, when you have the minutes of your meeting that you had as a plan review saying certain things need to be done, it's important to make sure those things get done. So part of what our team does is help create the minutes and help to monitor that those action items are actually getting done. So our processes will involve all areas of the plan, including advisory services, employee education, and third-party administration. Our team monitors all of these processes to take steps off business owners wherever possible. And number three, we keep current on the trends in the retirement space. So we actually take a lot of classes, we attend training, so that we can keep current on what's going to help our clients. So the government seems to come up with new regulations every year. So it really takes a team to keep up with these new rules and regulations and to help clients stay in compliance. Another aspect of our role relates to data quality. We act as a buffer between the large national providers who we said have a lot of clients they're trying to track at the same time and our clients. We help ensure that our clients never get lost in the shuffle of thousands of clients at these big record keepers.
All right. Well, you've talked about a lot of issues that can cause a plan sponsor some problems. What can a plan sponsor expect if we take over a plan? So we're not converting to a new record keeper, but just as the service team for their current record keeper.
All right. Well, as we go back to the beginning, whenever we want to work with a plan sponsor, we want to start with a review of their current plan. So I'll give you a review of our services, but I also would like to add in here that we've had some Google reviews. And if you go to the connectandsimplify.com website, or you go look on Google, you can see the reviews. And a lot of those reviews relate to our retirement plan team. And fortunately for us, they're very nice reviews, so I would encourage you to read those and read how actual clients feel about our services as we take on clients. So I think it would take many pages to talk about all the services we provide. However, let's talk about some of the most visible. So number one, we'd review a plan and their latest Form 5500 filings to look for any red flags or issues where we could make immediate improvement. Then we want to collaborate with the plan sponsor to ensure that the plan design fits the goals for their plan. Then we're going to continuously monitor the plan cost. So that starts with that initial view, but continuously moving through the process. Why that's important is because as plans grow, the assets in the plan can often help the plan dictate lower costs with their providers. But if they don't know to ask for those lower costs, they're often not moved to those lower cost places. So we do that. We take that as part of our job to monitor the cost for the plan. And that gets into the whole idea of benchmarking the plan on a regular basis, both for service and cost. And then another area we think is very important, as we already talked about, is we'll ensure that an ERISA fiduciary is installed in writing, one of those 321 or 338 fiduciaries to help take a lot of liability off the plan sponsor for the investments in the plan. And we'll still work with that fiduciary to do a thorough review of the investments offered and help implement any needed changes to the investment menu. And on an ongoing basis, there'll be a continuous monitoring of the payroll process at our clients so that we ensure that the plan flows smoothly and if there's any errors, they're corrected in a timely manner. And the plan review meetings here are delivered by licensed representatives, which means we really have people who know what they're doing, go talk with our clients and ensure that all these key points are being done well. And another area is we work with the plan sponsor to ensure that employee notices, which there's required employee notices that must go out to a lot of these retirement plans, and we'll have make sure that the plan sponsor knows what those notices are, that they're done well and scheduled for delivery. And one of the areas that we are most proud of and most visible with the plan sponsors is in the area of employee education. So we design and deliver employee education advice to ensure that each employee has access to the wealth building that they need. So over an overall summary of what we do, because I just gave you a lot of different points there, is that we provide peace of mind to the plan sponsors and the participants for all of our clients.
Nice. All right. So if you were to give me a couple thoughts, what are the most glaring areas that you see and you go, we got to fix this now? What would those be?
Right. Number one, if a plan cannot document that they've done a benchmark of their fees and services in the last 5 years, it is at serious risk for Department of Labor fines. Specifically, I've heard of a case, I think it was in Seattle, where a plan sponsor could document what their fees were that they were paying to their current provider, but they couldn't document how those fees related to the industry and if they were getting a good deal. And that actually caused them to be fined. So we're not just talking about something that might happen. This has happened. The other thing is that the investment and selection and monitoring, if those have not been outsourced in writing to a ERISA 321 or 338 fiduciary that has the resources to back that claim, that needs to be fixed ASAP. And then the third area is if the employees have not had any education in a few years, this is a big problem. We need to remedy that situation as soon as possible because isn't the purpose of the plan to attract and retain highly valued key employees? So employee education is critical to that.
All right. So to tie off how we stand apart at the benefit companies, talk about how our integrated human capital management platform that connects human resources, time, labor management, benefits, payroll, and retirement plans in our house in a cloud-based system makes us the most efficient way to administer all these processes.
Well, when we talk about what makes life better for a company, for the business owner, there's lots of steps that they have to do every day. And I'm sure when they were youngsters, they didn't wake up in the morning and think about doing HR as one of their dream jobs. So when you bring our firm in, we take those steps away from the plan sponsor that they don't want to be doing. They want to focus on their job. So if we can take on the human capital management, if we can take on the payroll, if we can take all these areas in-house where we can integrate those and keep the plan sponsor informed of what's happening, work with them, collaborate with them, but have us do the steps that they don't want to be doing with the resources that we have to get it done right, the end result is happier participants with a plan sponsor that has more time to do what they want to be doing, which is what got them to where they are today.
Got it. So, to recap, if you're talking to a business owner and they have an established plan and they haven't had an outside experience review or audit of the plan recently, what do you recommend?
I would say let's start by find us at connectandsimplify.com. Click contact to request that I contact you, and we'll get the process started.
All right, Paul, thanks for your time again today. Appreciate that. And as Paul said, for more information, go to connectandsimplify.com and find us on the contact form, and we will get back to you and we'll talk about your plan. Thanks for listening. Be well.
Kurt Otto here for Benefit Companies. How much better would life be with a dozen on-staff experts glad to be responsible and accountable for human resources, payroll, benefits, insurance, and regulatory compliance? Experts current on regulations, able to answer any question accurately, working diligently, implementing efficiency, saving business and employees' time, frustration, fear, and money. Insource the Benefit Companies. We connect and simplify every aspect of business administration. Insource the Benefit Company. Connectandsimplify.com.